Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106, 5 hour number 3 underway. Thank you very much for listening. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Please hit us up on the text line if you want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now, for our next guest, he is our state auditor, exploring a run or running an exploratory committee for governor, State Auditor Jim Ziegler on the line. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I am just now getting rested from the gigantic Trump rally this weekend in Cullman, Alabama. I was blessed to be one of 40,000 or more citizens there.
What's your general takeaway from that event? I saw you there. A lot of people, the weather, I think, maybe kind of kept it from being even bigger.
Well, it may, and the people were dedicated enough to brave through a thunderstorm and just get soaked, and they stayed there. There may well have been another 10,000 or 15,000 people if it had not been as a terrific thunderstorm that afternoon. But I think it shows that Donald Trump and his message, his populist message to oppose very specific things going on in Washington, D.C., still resonates. His base is still there and may be growing right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's probably more telling that that Trump still resonates in Alabama. It's not just the crowds or, you know, the excitement of the crowd. Every political figure in the state just about was there trying to get some kind of face time with the president. And if you're running in this election cycle, that tells you what you need to know, that you still want to have that link to the former president.
Absolutely. Now, there was one political figure in Alabama missing at the rally. Was not at the rally.
There were two, actually, but I know where you're going with this one.
Well, Governor Ivey's advisors advised her not to go. Donald Trump could say some things would be very critical of Governor Ivey and the things she's done in the administration. But to sort of cover that up, the Ivey staff got her to zip over to the airport when former President Trump was landing and do a photo op with him at the airport and then leave. Not come to the rally, not meet with the people and be out among the people and hear what they're saying or hear the president's speech and what he might say off the cuff. So her staff is covering for her in so many ways, and this was a perfect example. Saturday, she was photo op at the airport only, and then Kay Ivey's out of here going back to Montgomery.
Yeah, I did think that was a little strange, and she did get a picture at the airport and didn't come to the rally. The other major political figure, no Richard Shelby either, so read into that what you will. But and before we get into your race, and we'll talk more about this polling out today about the governor's race in Alabama, what's your take on the Senate race? What do you think about where that's at right now?
Well, of course, it's still early in all of the races. The Republican primary is May 24th, which is 9 months from tomorrow. May 24th, let's see, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, 9 months from tomorrow. I mean, that's a full gestation period. And it's awfully early, but it appears that there are two front runners right now, Congressman Mo Brooks, who has the endorsement of President Trump, and former Business Council of Alabama chair, Katie Britt, who has the support of Senator Shelby, who she previously worked for as administrative assistant. So those two, now you've got trying to get into second place, Linda Blanchard, former Trump ambassador to Slovenia, and Jessica Taylor, who ran a good third-place finish in the open congressional race last year. Right now, it's a one-man, one-woman race.
What do you think about the possibility of Ambassador Blanchard dropping out of the Senate race and entering the governor's race?
That has been rumored as a possibility, only as a possibility, for the last 2 months. And when I have, on the campaign trail, run into Linda Blanchard, I have asked her about that, as other people have asked, I think you have. And she says that she's considering it. She's praying about it. And so we'll have to wait and see what she decides to do. Simple as that.
Now I want to get into the gubernatorial race. Signal with a poll. Our friend Todd Stacey has polling out this morning for that race, and I know you picked up on this. Governor Ivey at 41%, probably not as strong as she was in 2018, it seems, running in that cycle.
Well, not at all. She won without a runoff with, I'm thinking, 55-ish percent. And in my exploratory campaign for governor, our strategy is, first, drop Governor Ivey below 50%. Second, keep her below 50%, creating a runoff. And then third, Mike coming in second and being in that runoff. Then it will be crystal clear choice, Ivy and the insiders versus Ziegler and the taxpayers. That's the matchup that we want. And according to the poll this morning, that is what is happening.
Well, what do you do? I mean, it's still a big number there, 41%, and you're coming in there a little over 8%. How do you close that gap?
Simple as this. There were 34% of the voters in that poll who picked undecided. And from what I'm hearing and talking to undecided voters on the campaign trail, they are for anybody but Ivy. They had a chance to vote for the incumbent. They know the incumbent, and they didn't. They're looking for somebody else. And so I've got to sell the voters on the idea that I'm not somebody else. I led the movement that blocked Governor Ivey's toll bridge over Mobile Bay. I led the movement that tried to block her 10-cent-a-gallon gasoline tax, and she ran over us. I led the movement, along with my wife, to defeat her Amendment 1 that would have taken away the right to vote for the school board and had them all appointed by the governor, which was a horrible plan. And we got 75% no vote in the statewide referendum. And I was one of the leaders that that defeated the Ivy $3 billion prison boondoggle that was just a terribly flawed plan, and it failed. So, based on the issues, I believe that this is Ziegler and the taxpayers versus Ivy and the insiders.
Well, and there's some other players that may get in. As we mentioned, Linda Blanchard, Tim James also rumored in there. And I don't know Dean Odell well, but I hear Opelika Pastor. He may, you know, he may take some votes here and there. Does it help the cause? The more, the merrier. Or what do you think?
Yes, it does. For instance, you mentioned Reverend Dean Odell. He will reach some people that I won't reach. He will raise some issues against Governor Ivey. And I understand he already has. I understand he makes a very excellent speech. So this simply helps keep Governor Ivey below 50% and sets up that runoff. And it's my strategy to be in that runoff. So I hope Tim James enters the race. He'll reach some people I want. I hope Linda Blanchard and her millions of self-funded dollars enters the race. I think all of this will be aimed at informing the taxpayers about what a bad deal they've been getting from the Ivey administration. They're just setting up that runoff situation, Ivey versus Ziegler. That's my strategy.
Well, and it's you mentioned, I think she does have some vulnerabilities. But the thing that's amazing about Governor Ivey, unlike Governor Bentley or even Bob Riley, they don't seem to stick. I thought early on the gas tax would be a problem with her, but people moved on from that. Okay, fine. The toll bridge, maybe it's just isolated to a certain part of the state. But what I thought would really be her undoing would be the handling of COVID and shutting all those businesses down while allowing other businesses to stay open. That doesn't seem to be hurting her either. The people are willing to kind of tolerate a lot with Governor Ivey.
They may be, and this is part of my job and my supporters' job to inform the public on what this administration and their insiders have done and failed to do. And if we can get the issues out there, I don't believe the people of Alabama will ratify the 10-cent a gallon gas tax by putting Governor Ivey back in. I don't think they'll ratify her handling of COVID and the shutdowns. I don't think they'll ratify her trying to put toll roads and bridges in different parts of the state. The one in Mobile was just the next one. Wasn't going to be the last one, and we have, by the grace of God, successfully blocked that thing. So that's going to be my campaign. It's going to be a very issue-oriented campaign.
And then finally, Jim, I don't know how aware you are of the sounds like the prison deal. It's a far cry from what Governor Ivey had wanted with the lease build deal. But it sounds like to me the direction is two men's facilities, new ones, Escambia County, Elmore County. They're going to jettison the Bibb County facility, but possibly build a women's prison. And then in addition to all of that, rehab the existing ones in Bullock, Barber County, one up in Limestone County, those that are out throughout the state. What's your general take on the direction of these prison discussions?
It's a good direction. This new plan that's being put together by the legislative leadership is so much of an improvement over the failed Ivey prison boondoggle that I am going to consider supporting it, maybe, and make some suggestions to improve it. After the Ivey prison plan failed when the investors all pulled out, I mean, A-L-L-R, I sent my plan to the 140 members of the legislature. It was a 10-point plan, and about half of those points have showed back up in the legislature's plan. That's all right. You'd be amazed what you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit. And so let the legislative leadership have credit for a plan that uses existing state land for the new prisons, not going out and wasting millions buying more land when we've got plenty in the right places, and not building 3 monstrosities the first day, but build one, and then, if needed, another, and then if needed, another. But not just cut down functional prisons, but rehabilitate those that should be and can be rehabilitated. These are all parts of my plan, and they're parts of the legislative plan. So I intend to be a help on this rather than a hindrance.
Jim, we got to leave it there, but real quick, folks want to find you online, find out more about your exploratory run for governor. Tell them where to look.
They should go on Facebook and look at Jim Ziegler for governor. Simple as that. And they'll find out more about this and maybe what they wanted to know.
Well said. Jim Ziegler, state auditor, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.